Verse 19, 18 and 19, he says, verse 17 to 19, chapter 15, 1 Corinthians, if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. In other words, there's no purpose to life as long as there's no resurrection from the dead. Even Paul acknowledges that. So that's the second underlying thing we need to understand. The first is selfishness inside Kohelev, or the preacher, the author of that book in his early stages before he returned to God. That's why he found it was vain. The second thing that caused the experience of frustration and vanity is because he didn't regard that this is only a temporary life. The real life is in the hereafter. And this life is to live in such a way that we will have all the blessings and the rewards of God possible in the next life. We are living in this life for the next life. That gives us purpose and meaning. And that is what Ecclesiastes miss out. The third, which is important, that although the word vanity occurs about 37 times in the... I actually counted about 32 times, but some have counted 37. They have included other words that were not translated as directly as vanity. But although it occurs about 37 times, the word God occurs about 39 times. The word God occurs about 39 times. And the word God is the word Elohim. So there is still somewhere Solomon reaching out to God more than the vanity. There's still a struggle to reach out to God. However, he never succeeds to reach into the depths of God until at the ending, when he remembered the God of his youth. And the third major failure is this, that there was no covenant relationship with God. It was a life. The book of Ecclesiastes is a life apart from God. It was not a life in the Lord. So that makes a major difference. Life separated from God and life in the Lord is a totally different life. So it tells us the frustration of a life apart or separated from God. Even if you believe in God, but God is there and you're here. Now that applies to Christians too. You could know the Lord as your Savior, but do not know the Lord as your Lord and Master. You may not surrender all the rooms in your heart to the Lord. All you know is Jesus as your Savior. And you will still experience the frustration Ecclesiastes experienced. Because your life, although you know God and acknowledge His existence, but you're apart from God. He is spiritually in you, but you live your life apart from Him. You will experience all the frustration He experienced. It's only a life lived in the Lord that can satisfy. That's the third major thing. So remember these three major things as you approach this book. Now, the theme of this book is here, that there is a flow of a walk of a Christian. Just like in the book of Proverbs, we have shown last week how that there is a revelation of Jesus Christ in the three sections. Jesus, the Word, before He came down. Jesus, when He came down. And Jesus in the church. In the book of Ecclesiastes, there is a revelation of the walk of a Christian. The key word is in the positive statements that Solomon made when he talked about God. Once in a while, you'll find scattered throughout these chapters, 12 chapters, positive statements made about God. And they constitute the key of the walk of a Christian. And this book, Ecclesiastes chapter 1 to 12, harmonizes with the book of Romans. And if you link those two books together, you will notice a clue pointing to the struggles of a Christian life. From the time that you were outside of God and getting into God, right up to the time that you meet God face to face and know God and know the Holy Spirit and then move on in God. So in order to put those two books together, we need to have a thorough knowledge also of the book of Romans, to know that the turning point is chapter 8, the Holy Spirit. And the other turning point is in chapter 5, when we were justified in faith in Christ Jesus and the peace of God comes into our heart. And the struggling point is also chapter 7, and also chapter 1, chapter 2. Chapter 3, all those are struggling points. And the book of Romans sort of identify the Christian life until chapter 16 of Romans, where it says that the God of peace shall put Satan shortly under your feet. So you can see the progression in the book of Romans. And in the book of Ecclesiastes, although it's not very clear to a superficial reading, there is in a deeper reading of this book a clear-cut progression of the author. There is a clear-cut return back to the Lord. The backslidden Solomon returning back to God. There is a hidden truth in this book. In chapter 1, his first approach as he started going back to God. This is like the prodigal son returning back to God. This time is prodigal Solomon. As he returned to God, when a person is far away from God, without any religion and without any sort of spiritual help anywhere, they are left only with the first resource. What we call the other Bible. What is the other Bible? The other Bible is the creation of God. The things that they see around them. God's creation, the stars, the moon, the skies. And of course, they are subject to a lot of wrong interpretation. And some people are so caught up in astrology. And if you're really scientific about it, you realize that the positions of the so-called 12 signs and everything are not really the same as they claim to be. If you read signs and you calculate backwards, you realize that the stars that people are supposed to be born under are not really the stars, because there's a lot of inaccuracy in astrology. Astrology is not a science. Astronomy is a science. And so people are so caught up in that without realizing that it's an occult and not a science at all. And it's a misinterpretation of the whole thing. So people say, what star are you born under? Star David. Star David. And the bright and shining star. Which one? The one in Matthew chapter 1. That's the star we are all born under. So it doesn't matter whether you're Libra, Virgo, and Scorpio or whatever. When you were born again, you're redeemed from Scorpio. You're redeemed by all those things. Who wants to be a scorpion? And who wants to be a man under Virgo? Right? And have a very feminine nature. Right? No, sir. We are born under the star of the Lord Jesus Christ. And but there is Sadhu Sunda Singh said these important words that I remember when I read his writings. That we need the same Holy Spirit to interpret creation as we need the same Holy Spirit to interpret the Bible. That's profound. In other words, the Holy Spirit who wrote this Bible is the same Holy Spirit who can unveil this word to us. And the same Holy Spirit who created all this earth, Genesis 1 verse 2, the Holy Spirit was on the surface of the earth, hovering over the earth, and God spoke and creation came about. The same Holy Spirit who was involved in the creation of the earth is the same Holy Spirit who can unveil creation to us. So in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, when a person is far away from God, all they have is their own life and the world around them. They have only the creation to come back to God. They have only a creation, which sometimes some people who are at least open to the very faint voice of God coming to creation during a time of very scenic natural scene, or as they look at the greatness of the universe, something in them strikes out and say, there must be a God who makes all this. So all they are left with is the creation. And that was where Solomon had to start again. Imagine how close he was. He knew God as Jehovah. Now he only had the creation to get back to God. And he observed the creation in Ecclesiastes chapter 1. In verse 5, he says, the sun also rises and the sun goes down and hastens to the place where it goes. The wind goes towards the south and turns around to the north. The wind wheels about continually, comes again on its circuit. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. To the place from which the rivers come, there they return again. All things are full of labor. Men cannot express it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. Now, that's a true statement if you look at creation. Because when men discover the telescope, they look further out. Then they want to build bigger. The bigger they build, the more stars they found. Then they build it bigger, now they found more galaxies. They build it bigger still, go to outer space, put a big telescope, they found more quasars. No end. You see more and more until you realize how great He is who created the heavens and the earth. And we realize we are so finite and such a tiny dot in the universe. And that harmonizes with Romans chapter 1. Now you have to have one finger in the book of Romans, because we're going to cross back and forth in this book. In Romans 1, in verse 20, it says, since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. So God did leave His mark in the universe, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. In other words, God did set a mark in the creation of His. And that's when Solomon looked around and saw all the creation, he realized that there's something there. And in verse 10, says, is there anything, chapter Ecclesiastes 1 verse 10, is there anything of which it may be said, see, this is new? It has, notice he says, it has been in ancient times before us. In other words, it has always been there, all of creation that he has observed. And anything that has been said or done or observed, it's been observed in some way, so it's not been fully understood. And you realize that all this creation of God, and it says in Romans chapter 1, it says, all these attributes of God are clearly seen by His creation, in His creation, being understood by the things that are made.